This is the Soundtrack Series. The Soundtrack Series. The Soundtrack Series. The Soundtrack Series. The Soundtrack Series.
My essay is called, Where's That Girl? For those who have never lived in New York City, all of the rumors you've heard about insanely high rents and the exhausting hunt for an apartment that, fingers crossed, doesn't have a shower in the kitchen are true. Those of us without trust funds sandwich ourselves into the cheaper areas of town, bunking with three or four roommates on the Lower East Side, in Murray Hill, or deep in Washington Heights. At age 27, when I'd had enough of my headmistress of a roommate in Midtown, I found my very own studio apartment in a neighborhood called Yorkville. On the far east side of the Upper East Side, my new apartment was 300 square feet max, recently renovated with sparkling white painted cabinets and new black and white tile, just like the ideal of a New York City apartment that often made an appearance in my teenage dreams. Yorkville is a strange, quiet place, but I felt at home there. I was neither rich nor very glamorous, so I was among my people. Average-looking, somewhat melancholy couples with hand-me-down strollers meander down the sidewalks alongside recovering sorority girls still wearing their Greek letters. There are a few little old ladies waiting at bus stations and some low-rent nail salons, plus a riverside park that's a mecca for weekend joggers sweating it out over the sparkling water. The best restaurants have been around for ages, Elio's in particular, a white tablecloth Italian place where I once saw Bob Costas. Anyone who would describe herself as cutting edge, a club kid, or a fashionista would not be caught dead living here. It is, however, the perfect place to walk homeward after work from the 6th train, eat a piping hot slice of pizza at Arturo's, grab a sixer of Bud Light at the incongruous 7-Eleven on the corner of 84th and York, curl up in your apartment, and plot your next career move. At least that's what I did. I loved perching there and listening to every second of my rich 20-something life reverberate, keeping time with the bony tree branches right next to my orange fire escape. And then, something strange happened. Madonna decided to move to my neighborhood. She didn't just plan to move in my general geographic direction. She literally purchased a home a few blocks from me on 81st Street, a $32 million four-story townhouse. What's even weirder is that Madonna chose the cheap side of Lexington Avenue, the decidedly unsexy side. Why? The tabloids lunged at the gossip. The New York Post said, "The townhouse is perfect for Madonna," according to one source. "She's trying to recreate London in New York City, and this is in the style of a London townhouse." RealEStalker.com said, "According to tattletales who have been inside the house, the nearby Lexington Avenue subway line can be felt and heard as it rumbles through the tunnels, an unfortunate auditory issue we imagine will cost Ms. Madonna a fortune to remedy." The Daily Beast said, "The Upper East Side east of Lex is a jumble of soulless apartment towers, tenements, and more dry cleaners, Duane Reade drugstores, and Citibank branches than the economy could possibly absorb, even in the best of times. Madonna's house falls on the dowdy side of the dividing line." I, however, was giddy. It was Madonna. Madonna was coming. I had to go check out her new digs. I made plans to go see the place the very first Saturday after I heard the news. Pictures of the interior posted online showed opulent accoutrements. Chandeliers, oriental rugs, staircases with pristine carved banisters. Perfect for Her Majesty. I couldn't wait to see what the outside looked like. I did some internet research from my Madonna-adjacent headquarters at 84th and York. The address was plastered all over the newspaper, so it wasn't hard to find. I jotted the coordinates down on a post-it note and told my boyfriend about my mission. He gamely agreed to tag along, as if he had a choice. I shrugged on my khaki trench coat, he his navy blue windbreaker, and we set off, post-it in hand, to check out Madonna's magic kingdom. We wound through the streets, past plain-looking groups of people wearing North Face fleece and brunching al fresco at cheap bistros on 1st and 2nd Avenues. After we had walked a few blocks, we stopped on an unassuming street full of unassuming townhouses. "That's it, I think," I said, looking from my post-it to the address across the way. We stood, squinting in the afternoon sun, at a big brick building 4 stories high. The plot of residential real estate was palatial by New York standards, but without context, it was just a brown brick box with painted brown wood accents. After all of the newspaper ballyhoo, it was a little underwhelming. I was fascinated, however, by the two-car garage. I imagined shiny Benzes zipping in and out of there, her then-boyfriend Jesus Luz and her children inside the house, playing board games on one of those oriental rugs, a piano tinkling in the background. The idea of Madonna setting up shop here, even if she were to turn the living room into a giant black onyx disco a la Confessions on a dance floor, felt cozy and familial. My boyfriend and I stared at the place in silence for a few minutes. "Well," he said, "wanna go get brunch?" When I signed the lease on my Upper East Side apartment, I was in search of a home. Somewhere to hunker down, a private enclave to shut out traffic noise, my roommate's chore list, and other people's opinions. If Madonna wants a retreat, a tragically unhip cocoon where she can be herself without anyone watching, Yorkville has that on lock. Around Thanksgiving 2009, I moved to Williamsburg, Brooklyn, a place thick with self-described artists and supposed rebels, young, doll-faced hipsters wearing thick smears of red lipstick and torn-up black tights. But forget any cultural superiority I'm supposed to feel living in Brooklyn. During the time that Madonna and I overlapped on the Upper East Side, my heart swelled with a bit more pride than usual about the neighborhood that I called home. In fact, I hijacked my fair share of conversations to tell people, if they weren't aware, that Madonna was my neighbor. I loved the area before, but now that she deemed it hers too, it lent the entire area more legitimacy, as though the rest of the world had discovered how great it was to hang out that close to the East River. And it was great. Sadly, I never saw Madonna casing out her new joint while I lived in the neighborhood, but I heard she recently put up an iron gate around the place to keep out peeping Toms and the paparazzi. So much for mingling with the little people. Still, when I think back on my gem of a place on the Upper East Side, I'll always think of Madonna and the fact that she followed in my footsteps, literally.
The Soundtrack Series, the 4th Thursday of every month in the gallery at Le Poisson Rouge, New York.